The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And this week we are joined by a man on his debut stand-up tour of the UK and Ireland, which is called, I love it, The Fresh Prince of Kildare. We're joined by comedian and writer Peter Flanagan. Good evening to you, Peter. I love the name of the tour for a start. A brave man on his debut tour. Are you nervous?
I am nervous, absolutely. I'm especially nervous doing the material to Irish people for the first time. So most of the performances have been outside of Ireland so far. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking doing it to Irish people.
Okay. So. And tell me this, the material, does it need to change within Ireland and within the UK? Are they different audiences?
I would have thought so, but so far it's been fine. I think the nature of material that I do, it seems to be quite accessible to people from outside of Ireland. So even in my shows in Ireland, I have people showing up from Spain, from Serbia, from Colombia. So it seems to be accessible to a reasonably broad audience.
Okay, cool. Let's go back to the beginning, though, and maybe tell myself and Shane, how did you get into comedy?
It was always something I'd wanted to do. Like, I was pretty obsessed with stand-up when I was a child. It was Tommy Tiernan used to host a stand-up show on Channel 4. And I remember my parents going out for dinner and evading the babysitter so I could sneak into the living room and watch Tommy Tiernan. So I was always fascinated by it. It was always kind of a dream of mine. And then when I went to college in Dublin, there was a student society, a comedy society, and they had a comedy workshop, a stand-up workshop, and I signed up for that.
I have to ask you, though, why the Fresh Prince of Kildare? Where did that come from?
That was my nickname when I was in college. So I always thought it was funny. And
I'd say, where did the nickname come from? Was it all a story about how your life got flipped, turned upside down?
Exactly right. I got in one little fight and my mother got scared and she sent me up to South County, Dublin. No, it was just a nickname I had. And I was trying to come up with show titles. It's a very difficult job. And then I just thought this could be very cringe if I call the show this, but I'll just use it as a work in progress. But people found it very funny. It's like when I post about it online, people seem to find it quite funny.
It is. I giggle.
I like it. I do like it.
So what kind of comedy? Tell us what. How would you categorize your comedy?
So I would. It's personal and political, I suppose. The stand-up show Fresh Prince of Kildare. It's about me growing up in Kildare and then moving to East London, and the kind of culture shock of that. Some of the kind of loneliness I experienced, ultimately joining this Buddhist temple and all the characters I met there. So it's very personal, a lot of stories, but a lot of current affairs as well. So the stuff I do on Instagram is mostly me talking to camera, talking about the news that week. And my stand-up is a mix of that, but also more kind of personal long-form stories.
And Peter, I follow quite a number of comedians on social media, and it's a really nice way to consume, you know, comedy and little sound bites and jokes and all of it. That is the new way, isn't it? It's sort of changed how people get a profile now. It isn't all down to just going around working men's clubs or comedy clubs or whatever, kind of doing the circuit. A lot of it is about getting eyes on you on TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, it's totally changed my life, you know, through social media. Comedy was always a dream. It was always a hobby. I always had a day job. And then the last year I've been able to go full time. And that's solely through the social media. And it's transformative for a lot of comedians. I mean, I'll be honest, I was, you know, I'm a millennial. So maybe TikTok and Instagram didn't necessarily come naturally to me. So I was always a little bit cynical of it. I was a comedy club person. I would perform at the Comedy Store in London or the International Club in Dublin. And I was always very cynical of social media, especially younger comedians doing social media. And then I kind of had a light bulb moment where I was hearing a story about when radio was invented, and a lot of the American comedians were very cynical of comedians going on radio. And they really didn't like
that newfangled thing, radio.
That newfangled thing, yeah. Radio. And there was a lot of comedians just that got totally left behind because they wouldn't adapt to this new technology. And I thought, God, I don't want that to be me. So I jumped in with it, and it's not a trial and error, you know. I'm not exactly a tech savvy person, but I realize the more the more authentic you are, that's what
resonates.
How do you get the balance right? You say there's a lot of political stuff in your material. I mean, politics is very heavy at the moment. How do you get the balance right to keep it, you know, humorous and not, I suppose, preachy, which we're probably all probably at the moment maybe inclined towards doing?
Sure. Well, we're all getting preached at from every corner, aren't we? So I think it has to be funny first. So even when I'm doing political comedy, I make sure there's a punchline in there. You know, my favorite comedians, Frankie Boyle, Stuart Lee, people like that, they're always funny first. So I make sure it's funny. And in terms of balancing it with the personal, I suppose everyone's personal life now is influenced by politics, whether it's paying your mortgage or paying for petrol. We're all affected by what's going on in the world. So I might not be telling you who I'm voting for, but I'll be telling you about my life. And you can probably deduce from the way I'm talking about my life how I feel about the world.
Peter, one of the things I read about you was that about obviously, I'm sure it's a fairly standard thing for a stand-up, hecklers. But a lot of your heckles seem to come with a kind of an Irish stereotype attached.
Sure. I mean, it happens a few times a year. You probably saw the story this week about the Irish woman in Leeds who got a wrongful dismissal case from her employer. Her employer apparently kept saying potatoes at her, shouting the word potatoes at her in a thick mock Irish accent. That is something that happens to you when you're Irish living abroad. I've had it in Australia. I've had it quite a lot in the UK. I never had it in America. In America, you know, they're so kind of bleary-eyed towards the Irish. They have such a fondness for us that it's almost like a superpower. But in the UK, it can go either way, I would say.
So somebody shouted potato at you while you were on stage?
Yeah, it happened last year. I was quite mortified because my girlfriend was there with a few friends from Spain. And, you know, you're maybe less than a minute into my set. And the nature of a heckle is if you come on too hard, too quickly, you'll seem oversensitive. But then if you totally let it go, you'll lose.
You look weak.
Of the room. Yeah, it's like you've got to kind of be very.
So that's what I was going to ask. How do you cope with heckling?
It really depends on the heckle.
Well, how did you cope with that one?
Yeah, imagine I'm going to do this to you now. Hey, potatoes.
Okay, well, what I did in that situation, I kind of let it sit there for a moment and just sit in the tension because comedy is all about releasing tension. So I kind of listened to what he said. I could feel the tension in the room. And I said, thank you, sir, so much for being here. I'm glad you're here because if you're here, that means somewhere there's a mosque not being attacked.
That's quite good. That's quite good.
That's within the context of the riots.
And did you get the bigger laugh than potatoes?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's the great thing about English audiences. They can give it, but they can take it as well. You know. So
how did he react?
I couldn't see him. You know, he's a coward in the back of the room. So I couldn't see him. But there was a wave of laughter that rolled onto stage. And I was relieved. My authority on stage was resumed and I was okay.
Because that is the fear of the stand-up comic, isn't it? That you can die on stage, that either you'll get heckled and you won't cope with it, or your jokes won't land the way you hoped and that you'll lose the room. And that's why I just don't know how you guys do it, because it just seems terrifying to me.
It is terrifying, but you get used to it. It's like anything, you know, you just get used to it. I'm sure bungee jumpers or skydivers.
I wouldn't do that either, Peter, to be honest.
And desensitized to it.
So tell us, when are you kicking off and where?
So last week I was in Cork and Kilkenny. So thank you to everybody who came to those. Tonight I'm in Galway. I'm in the King's Head in Galway. There are still some tickets left for that. Tomorrow night I'm in the Black Box Theatre in Belfast. There's a handful of tickets left for that. And then in May, I have a homecoming gig in Nace. Fresh Prince of Kildare comes to Kildare in the Moat Theatre on the 7th of May. And the biggest show of my life is in the Ambassador Theatre in Dublin on the 9th of May.
Ah, great venue.
Really looking forward to that. That's a dream come true for me. So there are tickets available for that, 9th of May in the Ambassador.
You speak quite a lot about your personal life on stage, including you speak about being neurodivergent, or your girlfriend thinks you're neurodivergent. Tell us more about that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I talk about this in the show that, you know, growing up in Kildare in the 90s and early noughties, we didn't really have the vocabulary to talk about this stuff. I don't think even anxiety was a word. I don't think that was part of the vernacular. So growing up, I would have been, you know, a nervous child, maybe a slightly eccentric child. And that was okay. I mean, I never really worried about it too much. I think if I was growing up today, almost certainly I would be labeled with something, whether it was ADHD, autism, OCD. I don't know. But I think it's very likely I would certainly be assessed for something. And it's very likely that I would get a diagnosis with something based on the current culture. And I suppose that might have been useful. You know, maybe getting a schema with which to navigate your life might be useful in school. It might have been useful for me in my teenage years, in my 20s. I honestly don't know. And my show explores that a little bit.
And is there, I suppose, just comedy in everything, really, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember going down to my GP here in Kildare as a child to talk about this. And, you know, he had less of a vocabulary about this stuff than I did. So I tell the story on stage. It's very funny. People are responding to it very well. I talk about moving back to Kildare during COVID and living with my parents as an adult and how funny that was, but also how depressing it was and how depressing it could be. And I talk about that and I speak to the crowd about their experiences. So you're trying to find funny in dark places, you know?
For sure. And in terms of promotion, I know you don't have an agent and you're not using a PR company. Is it hard to break through? Is it hard to get your name out there? Like, how challenging is that aspect of all of this?
The challenge, I suppose, is, you know, you get the social media following, and then it's a case of convincing people to actually come and see you live, you know? So I've never had an agent. So I think there's people who start their comedy careers and they get signed straight away. And their whole comedy experience is just writing comedy, performing comedy. My comedy experience is writing comedy, performing comedy, recording the comedy on my phone, video editing, tour managing, invoicing, social media. So I just do everything myself. It's how I've always done it. I like it that way. I like it that way. You know, it allows me to connect directly with people. As I say, 18 months ago, nobody knew me. I was performing in small comedy clubs and I was very happy to be doing that. But through social media now, I'm able to connect with people who I otherwise wouldn't have been connecting with. And,
okay. So if people want to check you out, where's the best place to find you?
Instagram at Peter Flanagan Comedy, TikTok, Flanagan Comedy, Facebook, Peter Flanagan Comedy. Those are the three main platforms. Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Comedian and the Fresh Prince of Kildare, Peter Flanagan. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.